Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm joined on this episode by a leader who doesn't wait for opportunity, he creates it. Phil Simonetta is a real estate broker, an entrepreneur, a restaurateur, a real estate investor, a real estate school owner, and a mentor whose impact stretches across industries and states. And his influence is deeply rooted right here in the Lehigh Valley. From closing deals and building businesses to educating and mentoring the next generation of real estate professionals, Phil has built a career on hustle, adaptability, and vision. This is a conversation about entrepreneurship in real time, the wins, the risks, the pivots, and the lessons that only come from doing the work. Phil, welcome to Trailblazers. I'm so excited you're here.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the kind words. That means the world to me.
Yeah, no problem. Phil, take me back and tell me what first sparked your entrepreneurial drive, and when did you realize that you weren't meant to follow a traditional path in your career?
I think it was when I was in first grade.
And, oh my.
And the progress report says does not follow instructions well. But honestly, when I was 12 years old, I started working on a farm, actually in Forks Township. It was across from Braden's Airport.
Okay.
And I learned business and I learned how to succeed. I came from humble beginnings. I didn't have much when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I really learned, and I learned what a dollar was worth.
Mm.
And at that point, I just one thing after another led me down the path of becoming an entrepreneur. I started out, went to school, had a job, had a corporate job, and then shortly after, there were layoffs. And after that happened, I said I would never work for anybody again.
And how long were you in that role?
Oh man, probably about a year and a half, right after college. A year and a half. Yeah.
And so you just decided from that point.
Yeah.
And you haven't worked, so to speak, a day in your life beyond those 18 months for a corporate.
Yeah, I mean, I worked as a bagger at Linco and Nazareth back in the day. And I worked in the summer, I worked actually at Binney and Smith. I used to make silly putty and chalk during college.
Yeah, which is now Crayola.
Which is not Crayola, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And I always hustled and always tried to make money to make my way to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I had a job was when I got laid off when I was about 22, 23. My son was just born, and I was just married, and had a great job. And one entity bought the other, laid us all off. I mean, I had my Series 6, my 63. I was in investing.
Wow.
And from there, I went into finance, and I never looked back. I got into real estate and different things and always worked for myself.
So now you wear many hats. You're a real estate broker. Yeah. You have a brokerage in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as you're licensed or you affiliate with New Jersey. Tell me a little bit about that.
So my real estate brokerage, everything is based in Jacksonville. I have a real estate brokerage in school. So we're licensed through the Florida Real Estate Commission. We actually teach the programs to get your license, maintain your license, become brokers. I have over 30 courses that we teach.
Mm.
It's combined with my brokerage all in one location. So that location is licensed in Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee. I'm also a broker associate in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
In New Jersey, I'm a broker associate with Realty One Group. I didn't extend my brokerage there because of legal reasons and some other criteria that you have to have. It would affect me in the other states.
State to state, yeah.
Right. So I did something a little different in Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you wear many hats, real estate broker, entrepreneur, investor, restaurateur, educator.
Yeah.
How do you describe what you do to someone hearing your name for the first time? Because that's a lot, right? You just opened Pearly Bakers in Easton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like completely, you're knocking it out of the park. I'm watching the social feeds and I'm like, wow, you guys are like always open and always busy.
Making it happen.
But you also are closing deals that are in Florida. And you're doing some you're wearing many hats. I think you're like one of the probably perfect examples of somebody who's doing a hustle in many different areas. And I feel like there's a lot of leaders out there that are kind of wearing multiple hats.
Sure.
How do you describe yourself, when you're talking to someone about what you do for a living?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I mean, I have people calling me that own restaurants that are asking me for help to fix them and rebuild them and sell them. See, being in real estate, I tell people I'm in real estate because I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not a real estate, you know, realtor. Half these people out there, agents, realtors, they're just running around, you know, putting deals together and hoping they close. You know, I call it the three P's. You know, they put a contract together, they put a sign in the yard, and they pray somebody buys the building. You know, but for me, see, I put deals together. You know, in addition to being a broker and an instructor, I'm also a mortgage loan originator. So I'm able to list the property. Now, in Florida, each state's different with the laws.
Right.
But in Florida, I can list a property, be a transaction broker, bring the buyer, and then get the financing for the buyer and handle the whole transaction with ease.
Seamlessly.
Right. Without, you know, deals falling apart and people not knowing what they're doing. There's so much incompetence in that business. So in the real estate side, when I meet people, I'm in real estate is what I do because I'm in it. I buy it, I sell it, I flip it, I develop it, I build it. You know, so I'm in real estate. I'm a broker because that gave me other abilities to be able to do more things. I have 19 agents that work for me. I have mentorship programs. I teach agents from other brokerages how to cold call. We do live calls. I do things on YouTube. I have a podcast on YouTube that I'm part of with Saks Realty. You get millions of views. And I have my own page. It's called Built From Scratch. It's just my name, Philip Simonetta, Built From Scratch. And it talks about, I mean, I can start any business. See, starting a business and operating a business, it's a system. It doesn't matter if you're selling shoelaces, cars, houses. Mm-hmm. It's a system. And if you could put that system in place, just like reopening Pearly Bakers after the drop-off it had, the bones and the structure is there. You just have to have the ability to attract the people. They want to be there. Mm-hmm. You just have to have it become inviting for them. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with real estate. People are, you know, needing deals done. It doesn't matter what the market's doing, good or bad or high or low or rates are high or rates are low. People still need to sell. People still need to buy. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that made me successful in my life was, you know, determining what I should do. And really early on, I learned that, you know, providing things that people need.
Like housing and food
and entertainment, right?
Right.
People need somewhere to sleep. People need something to eat. And people need something to do. So if you can stick in those areas, and that's where I stick in. I'll talk when I know something. And if I don't know something, I shut up. You know, so I just sit back and I observe. And I've become successful in the areas of being able to solve people's problems in those areas. And the bigger the problems that I solve, the more lucrative the deal.
So, okay, real estate. But then you also have restaurants, cigar bars.
Yeah.
Food trucks. I mean, okay, so the restaurant industry can be known for high risk and tight margins and also all consuming. I mean, you know, that can be a labor of love. What lessons did hospitality teach you that carried you or carries you into other ventures? And, you know, how do you balance all of that? Because that's a lot. I mean, truth be told, I know that you are always on. Like when I see you, you're always on. How do you manage all that, you know, and what has all of that taught you about balance, about hustle, about all of it?
I tell you the truth, it's my life. So I don't punch in and I don't punch out. It's just my life. It's how I operate. You know, I'm in a real estate transaction, 7:30 in the morning I wake up. I'm handling real estate from 7:30 to 10. Transactions, paperwork. Sure, fires pop up, got to do something in the middle of the day. I just had a addendum pop up on me as I was driving here. I have to go back and get something signed quick for an extension. No big deal. It takes me 15 minutes. It's digital. I send it, sign. It'll be done. Things like that happen. And then, you know, I'm in the bar for certain hours, handling all orders and getting things done and with the employees. And I have the right employees. That's the key, too. You got to have people in place that you can trust, that are going to do a good job and care about what you're doing.
That's a good
They have
point.
To have your vision, right? Yeah. If they don't have my vision, they can't work for me. You know, that's it. And when I say work for me, people work with me. I don't have people work for me. They're incorporated. They're part of what I'm doing. They're part of the puzzle. And I make them feel that way, you know, because they have roles and they have things that are very important to where we need to go. I can't do it all myself. I mean, it'd be impossible, you know. So you got to involve the right people. Sometimes the wrong people get in there and then you got to get rid of the wrong people. You just got to keep the right people involved. And it's just a daily activity for me. I just go through the day and compartmentalizing it. And it's just, I wake up, I do my thing, and I go to bed. You know, it's, and every day you just move closer and closer to that goal. And more things come into that plate that you're working on. and you just chisel away, you know?
I imagine having so many balls in the air like that. Mm-hmm. For me, I would think to myself, wow, I'm involved in so much. How do you mm-hmm. make sure that everything's successful? And you really do.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? Like, how do you make sure? And what do you do for fun? Do you ever have downtime?
I ride my Harley.
You ride your Harley. Yeah. That sounds fun. So, maybe a cigar in there, right?
Yeah, a cigar, Harley, a scotch. You know, I just, this is fun for me. It's not work. Nothing I do is work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. If I don't enjoy doing it, I don't do it. I've been like that for a long time. You know, I mean, it's frustrating sometimes. You know, it's stressful sometimes. But all in all, it's fun, man. Like, if it's not fun, you won't see me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not
worth
it. So
you embrace the hustle, essentially.
I love it, man. It's what makes me go.
Yeah. One of your most impactful roles is as a real estate school owner and mm-hmm. mentor. Mm-hmm. It's important to you. I know that. Yeah. Why was it important for you to not just succeed, but teach others how to do it?
Because I've seen so many people fail in real estate,
mm-hmm.
because it's not because they're lazy. It's because no one teaches them how to do it.
Mm.
And a lot of them don't want to do the work. There's nothing easy about real estate. It's not like watching the TV channel where you become a real estate broker or agent and somebody's knocking on your door. Please, that's the last thing that's going to happen. They run from you, right? And that's one of the reasons when I tell people I meet them, I'm in real estate. I won't say I'm a real estate agent. I won't say I'm a realtor. I won't say whatever. I'm in real estate. And you look at me like, well, what do you mean? Well, I buy it, sell it, flip it. You know, I build it. I tear it down sometimes.
Finance it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put it all together. I make deals. And people look at you totally different when you talk to them like that. And all they have to do is Google my name and look, or go to my website and see all the reviews, you know, the 5-star reviews from all the students and all the other agents I worked with and title companies and clients, you know, what they say. And results speak for themselves. I could sit here and tell you all about me all day, but when I show you what people say, that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Now, entrepreneurship isn't all wins, right?
No.
What were some of the toughest challenges or setbacks you faced, and how did you push through them?
I can't lose. The way I look at it, I'll learn a valuable lesson. I've had situations come up where things didn't work out, but I learned something from it. And it's just like paying for a class. You know, you go to college, you pay for a class, you get educated, you move on.
Yeah.
Right? Mistakes are things you learn from. I try not to make them. I mean, listen, I put faith in people, the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
I trust different things. I never really made any bad decisions when it came to going into business.
Knock on wood.
Because, no, if it doesn't make sense, you don't do it. It's logic. There's no emotion involved. Right? Mm-hmm. If something, 1 + 1 = 2, it's never going to be anything different. Right? So if it doesn't make sense, you don't do it.
Right.
That's just the way it works. The only reason things fail is because it doesn't make logical sense if people try to stretch things out. You can't do it. So, you know, buying Pearly Bakers, turning it around. It took me, what, November 6th till now, right? We opened November 6th. The place is completely turned around. Tore out the kitchen, all new kitchen equipment, new beer lines, new beer system, new soda lines. I hired the right people. Bartenders are knocking on the door, like wanting to work there. The bartenders are making more money there than they ever made in their lives, they told me.
Huh.
Just this last weekend. They're like, I've never made... Because you drive people in to a place they want to be. There's a niche in Easton that nobody is touching. The people don't even know they want it. I created it, and there they are. Because I created something that the public wants. And that's where we're going to go. Just wait until after January and see what we're going to do.
Oh.
We're going to have Pearly Bakers after dark.
Oh. You heard it here first.
That's right. It's going to be starting like January 8th. We're actually going to take a week's vacation. We're going to close January 1st to the 7th.
Okay.
We're going to reevaluate a couple things. I got to fly down to Florida and tie up some loose ends. I'll be back, and then we're going to reopen on the 8th with a little bit different menu, and we're going to do some little bit different entertainment. We're going to have some, I'll tell you, we're going to have our live music from 7 to 10, and then we're going to have a house DJ. It's Fly Guy Entertainment, Charbel Corey and his DJ company.
Yeah.
They're going to be our house DJ. And what's going to happen is we're going to have blues and jazz and classic rock playing, you know, live music from 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DJ is going to start with that type of music. And then as the crowd shifts and changes, we're going to roll into party music, dance music, really secure crowd. We're going to have great security. We're going to have the right people in there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's mm-hmm. going to be a really cool place for people to go
wow.
And enjoy themselves.
I'm looking forward to it. I like to dance. I mean, I don't know if I'll do too late, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all good.
How would you describe your leadership style across businesses, and how has it evolved over time?
Yeah, I put people first. You know, it's really about people. One of the things I learned, again, at a young age when I had my sandwich shops, this was down in Philly. I started with the sandwich shops down there. And, you know, I always put people first. Money follows, right? So if people want to be there and people enjoy themselves, they're willing to pay. Mm-hmm. So they'll pay. Like, just think about it. You have a Louis Vuitton handbag and you have another handbag looks just like it from Walmart. The Louis Vuitton will go for $5,000. The one at Walmart is $20. Probably came off the same cow. It's just a different kind of marketing, right?
Right.
It's a branding thing. So people will pay the $5,000 for it. Not everybody, but they will. And the other people will pay $20. Mm-hmm. So if you can just win the people over and give them what they want, they'll pay you.
Create the market, yeah.
You create a desire. You create an urge. You create a product that people want or an experience that people want, and people pay. And I've always learned, you know, stick with what people need. Again, like we talked before. They need somewhere to sleep, rest their head. They need something to eat, right? Pizza. I do pizza. Everybody eats pizza, right? And then I also do entertainment. People need to have a good time. Even when times are bad, they'll spend more money to have a good time when times are bad. Mm. They get them away from that depression and that bad time. So if you stick in those areas, it all works out. But it's always about people. You can't open a business and think about, oh, I'm going to make so much money. Because money comes from people.
Mm-hmm.
Money just doesn't show up.
Right.
Solve the problem for the people, money will follow.
And, you know, you speak about that's from the customer perspective, mm-hmm. but what about your teams? Like, what do you do to keep them engaged, to keep them producing, to keep them mm-hmm. creating that experience in the restaurants,
sure.
on the food truck, at the real estate office? How do you empower them to do what they need to do?
You have to find people who have goals and who want to become better. Right. So one of the goals I have in my life, every day I wake up, I want to be better off when I go to bed that night. So however I am in the morning, I want to be better. It could be better with a business. It could be better with a relationship. It could be better with more people I know. But I want to be better off that night. And that little bit of increment every day compounds. And I try to involve myself with people who want to be like that, not people who want to exist, not people who just want to get a paycheck and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who wants to become better. No matter where they are in life, they just want to be a little better, a little better, a little better. And I give them a path to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every one of my employees, if they ever want to go on their own, they ever want to open a business, I'll help them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to hold anybody back, even in the real estate side. Like, if they want to do something, I empower them to do it. Because, listen, I know who I am. I know what I bring to the table. I know I don't have any competition. try to go after a client with me and see who wins it, you mm-hmm. know, because I know what I bring to the table. The results I bring. They could try. So I don't have a fear of educating people and teaching people to do their thing their own way. There's so much business out there when it comes to real estate, when it comes to restaurants. There's so much you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I can go anywhere, anytime and build something and make it work because I've done it over and over. Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. You know, so I can do it over and over. It's a system. But it really comes down to working with people that matter and people who want to become better. That's really who you need to surround yourself with.
Do you feel, I mean, you've built teams, you've mentored agents, and you guided mm-hmm. students. Do you think that leaders such as yourself owe the people who trust them the chance, the opportunity, basically bring up as you rise?
Yeah, you need to bring people with you. I've done it on my own. It's very lonely on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nobody even to celebrate your wins with. You learn to clap for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I still have to do that because I've never in my life met or associated with anyone that operates the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that is because I've been an entrepreneur. I was never like after I got laid off in that corporate job,
mm-hmm.
I never worked corporate again. So I kind of isolated myself from the corporate world. From the public world, I kind of did my own thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wasn't in those boardrooms. I wasn't around those people. So they never got to see the skill and the things that I do. I just did it myself. And that's how I got to where I am now. I've never been the guy, you know, to rub elbows with people. I'm social. I go out and do my things. But, you know, I'm not the guy to go to, like, you know, fundraisers and go to political events and things like that because I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm not that guy. I'm results driven. I try to get right to the result and move on. Get right to the result and move on without any of the fluff and the stuff in the middle. Taking people with me, you have to bring them with you. And not everybody's going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that you could put it right in front of them and they're not going to get it. It's something that you're born with. It's not something you can learn. There's an element of it that's in your DNA to get to a certain level and do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing good or bad about it. It's just the way it is. You know, there's a lion, there's an elephant, there's a rabbit. There's just different things. Rabbit do rabbits things. Lions do lion things. Elephants do elephant things. You know, they don't really pay attention to the others. So there's different elements of people.
And, you know, we recently had a conversation kind of about this where you had said that you had done a DISC assessment.
Yeah, profile,
right? And really identified who you were,
mm-hmm.
and who, you know, certain people in your life were,
sure.
so that you could maximize for yourself, for them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that,
yeah.
why you thought it was so important, how it's influenced you in different ways, and, you know, what advice you would give from that yeah. perspective, and even how to get it, because that was interesting too.
Yeah, yeah. The DISC profile. I mean, I use Tony Robbins' version of it. You can just Google Tony Robbins' DISC assessment,
mm-hmm.
and there's a free evaluation you can do. Just a bunch of questions, and you know what you would do first, second, third, fourth, and it gives you. It's like a Myers-Briggs testing,
mm-hmm.
sort of, and it gives you an assessment. There's a D, an I, S, and a C. There's different. You can look it up and see
mm-hmm.
it, but what it does is it really breaks down what your natural emotions and your natural abilities are. And the first thing I do when I hire agents and I bring them in for their apprenticeship, because I have an apprenticeship that I put them through.
Mm-hmm.
First thing we do is a DISC profiling, because mm-hmm. it teaches me how to talk to them. I know who I am, but if I come across the other personality types naturally, they'll run out of the room. It'll scare them. So I need to know if they're an S, I need to slow down and I need to talk to them as if they're an S, if the relationship means something to me. If it doesn't mean anything to me, what do I care, right? But if they're a C, they're the opposite of me. I talk to them, they're going to run out that room so fast, they're going to jump out the window because it'll scare them because they won't know what to do. It'll never work. But when I have a client that's a C, you know, I must hit every point, must be very detailed. You know, a C is like your analytical type.
Okay.
That's somebody who's like an engineer, a doctor,
mm-hmm.
Someone who builds buildings,
mm-hmm.
things like that. You know, buildings don't fall down because there's C's.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody like me built a building or built a bridge, the bridge would be there. I get over, it would fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd build it again when I had to get back over because like, I'm too busy going on to the next thing.
Right.
The C type will take, there's a deadline. They'll be 3 weeks late, but that thing will never fall. You know, there's just different things about these personality types and communication skills. So if I'm a D and I'm talking to a C and I'm a D language, it's like me talking Chinese to them, but they speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to, you know, get my Google Translator and speak into it. But, you know, you got to understand what they are, and then you can speak to them in the tonality and in the way that you need to, so you're getting your point across to them.
High-level overview, what is DIS, and yeah. then what do you consider yourself? And what do you consider me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a D, a D is like a driver.
Okay.
Like an I is like an influencer.
Okay.
Okay, and S is like an S is more of someone who would be like a doctor or a nurse, very compassionate.
Okay.
And a C is more like an engineer, like a doctor, somebody who's very detail-oriented. The details matter most. Deadline won't matter, like something like that, you know.
Sure.
Just to give you a quick overview, a driver is an entrepreneur. You're going to see somebody who's in business. You know, their key is get things done.
Yeah.
They're more worried about results than people's feelings. Right. So me, I'm results. I turn that switch off.
And everybody probably has a different level right. of yeah.
But the thing is, like if you look at my test, I'm a 99D, a 99I, I'm like a 23S, and I'm like a 15C. naturally.
I'll have to take this test. Know?
But I had to learn running my businesses and having all this. I had to make that C higher because I have to be detailed.
Mm-hmm.
There's licenses involved. There's education involved. There's reporting things. There's so much involved. So I had to like unnaturally raise that to get where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. See, knowing how this stuff works allows you to adapt. Say, look, I know that's my natural thing, but I can't be natural. I have to do this if I want to get here. And you work on yourself. But the key of it is once you know them, and you know your personality and how you operate, once you know that, the most important thing is knowing how to read with other people and how to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. It's not about just knowing yourself and how you do. The key to being successful is knowing that I know you're an S, right? Just from our conversations and what we've talked about. So I know if I want to communicate with you and I want to deal with you on business levels, I have to communicate with you as an S. Because if I communicate with you as a D, you're going to think I'm arrogant, cocky. You're going to say, I don't want to deal with that guy. Like, because like right off the bat, feelings are more important to you than results. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that. Yeah.
But not, I'm not saying in a bad word. It's not bad or good. Right. It's just what it
is.
I
always put people first.
You put people first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that person being happy and satisfied and content is more important than getting that result done right there. I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
My result and what I want done is more valuable to me than anything.
Yeah. And I'm in sales. Imagine that.
But
I put people first.
Sales
but I think
natural.
That's. But I but think that's yeah. why yeah. it's been
that's,
successful.
That's why you're successful
right?
in sales, because you know how to put people first, mm-hmm. and most salespeople don't because they're D's and I's.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're D's and I's. So when you're a D, you're driving. You're driving. You're pushing. But see, I'm a high D. But when I'm dealing with an S and a C, I communicate with them on their level. That's why I'm successful. If I want to talk to someone who I normally would just not talk to. And put a deal together, I can, because I'm able to communicate with them on the level of their communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to. But my natural communication is like, what are we doing, man? Come on,
and that's
let's go. Let's
really
go, let's go.
Influenced your leadership.
Yeah.
So one thing that I can see is that you're very accountable, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, across all industries, mm-hmm. the market, technology, consumer expectations, everything constantly changing. How do you stay ahead without losing core values? Because there's other elements to you as well, right? But you're successful across, you know, multiple industries. How do you stay true to those core values, even though results and driving and all of that are paramount to you?
Yeah.
You're still quite empathetic, very accountable to your teams, very accountable to your clients. How do you stay focused?
Because to me, the money doesn't matter. The result does.
Mm.
You know, and when you don't focus on money and you focus on the result, the win for everybody, right? I know where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I might make less money over here, but if the money isn't the principle, the group winning is the principle. Mm-hmm. You make a little bit less money, but in the long run, you make more because you're putting more deals together.
Right. They trust you. You build trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Money doesn't matter. Money's a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You have it or you don't. I had zero money when I was a kid. I started negative, right? So that's what taught me the empathy, right? That's what matters. Like being able to put the result ahead of anything. And that's how I do it every day. I just put the result first. What do I want? And what do we have to do to get there? And what do you sacrifice? Because there's always a sacrifice in every win.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, you never always win. You know, I'm dealing with a situation right now with a building, you know?
Yeah.
Like we talked about.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? It's out of my hands. I already have three more things in my head that I'm going to compound and beat it. But it's going to happen. There's just other avenues. There's more than one way to a point.
Yeah.
And now I just got to find other ways, you know.
Embrace the hustle.
That's it.
And celebrate the small wins.
Just because I didn't win didn't mean it wasn't the right thing. Sometimes that win isn't something you wanted.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. This has been an incredible conversation. Your journey reminds us that entrepreneurship isn't about titles. It's about courage, consistency, and the willingness to bet on yourself again and again. Whether it's real estate, restaurants, education, or mentorship, you've shown us that success is built and not given. Thank you for your leadership, your transparency, and for continuing to invest in people and place, especially here in the Lehigh Valley. And to our listeners, if this episode inspired you to think bigger, move bolder, or take that next step, be sure to share this episode. Thanks for listening to Trailblazers, where real leaders share real journeys. Until next time, keep blazing your trail.